Let's turn in God's Word to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. We're looking at verses 12 through 15 this morning. Matthew 11, 12 through 15. And before we read God's Word and hear the Word preached, let's pray and seek the Lord's face. Our Father, we're thankful once again for Your Word. We're thankful that You speak to us. For many of us, this passage probably has caused some confusion about the meaning of it. But we're thankful that You give us Scripture to interpret Scripture. We're thankful that what You have here is actually very clear. And it's no different than what we've been hearing. And yet, Father, we pray that You would call us, each one, to take the kingdom by force, that we would come into Your kingdom with one single-minded focus upon coming to Christ, Jesus, Your Son. We pray that for our children and for all here, and those especially who are in their sins, that You would turn them in faith and repentance to Christ, Your Son, for salvation. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 12. These are God's words. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Those are God's words. Well, Jesus is explaining to the multitude of the Jews about John the Baptist, who had ministered to those same Jews. For they went out to him to be baptized by him, to hear his message, to hear his preaching. And John was preaching, as we've heard before, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." A great increase in the kingdom coming from the Old Testament to Christ's coming. The Messiah's coming was at hand. And Christ came, and He's here. And Christ having come, there is now, friends, a new phase in the kingdom. As we've been studying here in this chapter, it has moved forward, become greater exponentially and comparatively before the King, Jesus, as the Christ. He's come, and because He's come, it has jumped forward in a great way. That is the kingdom. And so it is now here. And John was preparing the Jews for this, because if they saw Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Messiah, if they heard Jesus and did not repent and did not believe and turn to Christ, then they would, just like, as we all know, they would perish forever. The kingdom is here because the King is here. As we heard last week, John was to minister a distance away from the King. The disciples or the apostles were with Jesus, with the incarnate Son of God and Son of Man. They followed Him. But John was off in the wilderness away from Jesus. And that's where John was to minister. Away from the new and majestic phase of the kingdom of heaven. And yet, even as we saw in the passage before this, he pointed the peoples, the Jews, John did, to the King, the Savior, the One who had come, calling the Jews to go to Him, to go to Jesus. John's role and purpose in history was to prepare the Jews for Jesus in a very particular way. And he directly pointed his followers, his disciples, to Jesus, saying, right, literally, you know, pointing them in the presence of Christ as He was off in a distance, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John's ministry could be summarized by him in this way. He must increase, that is, Christ must increase, but I must decrease. That was the whole point of his ministry was to show forth that the King had come, the Messiah had come. It's Jesus, and that he should be increased in the minds and the hearts of the Jews. The first point this morning, taking the kingdom by force. Taking the kingdom by force. Here, friends, we see that the labors of John, his ministry is preaching and preparing the way for Christ Jesus, the King of the kingdom, caused men to take the kingdom by force. To take this kingdom by force, right? It says, verse 12, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." Luke 16, the parallel passage, it says there, the law and the prophets were until John, right? It's talking about the Old Testament was until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Presseth into the kingdom. That's the same verb in our passage, suffereth violence. The violent are taking it by force, they're pressing into it. The kingdom, friends, you the individual, and then all throughout the world, every single person must enter the kingdom. We know that. They must enter the kingdom. And in the words and language here, they must take the kingdom by force. This is the action that is required of all peoples. All peoples, everywhere. This is the action that is required. The action is taking. Taking the kingdom of heaven, or as Luke says, pressing into the kingdom of heaven. It's not coming into the kingdom is not some random twist of fate where you magically end up in the kingdom. No, all of that, of course, is nonsense. You know, fate and magic and all those, that's all nonsense. It's not just random, because nothing's random. No, you must enter into the kingdom. And more so, you must take the kingdom of heaven. That's what the Lord Jesus says here. And some may talk about conversion as just faith and repentance, that is, conversion. They think of that sometimes as a realization. You realize you're in the kingdom. That's hogwash. Right? That's wrong. It's not passive. It's very much active. And that's what Jesus is saying. What is true is you can't change your heart. You can't regenerate or make new or make your heart alive. You can't renew your nature to make it alive. Right? Ephesians 2 says, you are dead in your trespasses and sins. But friends, what does Ephesians 2 go on to say? But God. Great words. But God. Those in whom the Lord works, those in whom the Lord sends His Holy Spirit, who renews the heart of the Spirit, renews and makes the heart alive, what happens is that they take the kingdom of heaven, they respond, they press into that kingdom, they take the kingdom of heaven by force. And so whenever regeneration takes place, the Spirit changes the heart to make it alive. The outcome of that is God's grace at work in the individual. The outcome is the action of pressing into the kingdom. Taking the kingdom of heaven. That's true of those of you even who have not known a day apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. You have never known a day from not being in His kingdom. Never knowing a day without Christ as your Savior. There was at some point in your life an active laying hold of and taking the kingdom. You might not know the day. You might not know the time or even the week or the month. But there was at some point, Jesus is saying, you took it. The gospel, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. But that is not to earn or merit your way into the kingdom. No, it's not by good works that we, by our own good works, our merit, what we do is the reason we're able to enter into the kingdom. The believing, the trusting is not a doing of God, a good works to earn God's favor and grace. Never is that the case. Right? John 6 says, this is the work of God. That is the work of God in you. He says, this is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He hath sent. The believing and trusting in Christ is the work and gift of God. But there is nonetheless a required response to the truth of the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There's an action. It's not a meritorious action. It's an action that is given to you by God's grace. Or you're able to perform it because of God and His Spirit working in you. But it's an action nonetheless. It's an active response to the truth required in every single one of you. And every single person in all of creation, of all men and women and children, you are to press into, you are to take the kingdom of God while fleeing the wrath to come. Each one of you here is called to take the kingdom by force. Take it with everything in you. Take it. But how? How do you take it? He teaches us here how you take the kingdom of heaven. Verse 12 again, it says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence. That's what it says. How does it suffer violence? By this entering into it. When sinners enter into the kingdom, the picture here is that the kingdom suffers violence. Why does it suffer violence? Because it's taken by force. By violent men and violent women and violent children. Praise God. Well, think of that word violence. And the word is here violent man in our translations. Violent man, that's one word in the original. But it comes from the word, as you know, violent, right? It's pretty self-explanatory. Acts 24, the same word is used of the great orator Tertullus, and he's speaking about the Apostle Paul, and he says, but the chief captain Lysias came upon us, and with great violence took him away out of our hands. So this, in other words, is a word that we already kind of know the meaning to. A word that means a ruthless force. Acts 27, when Paul was shipwrecked in the storm, it says, and falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the fore part struck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And you think of the violence of the waves in the midst of a storm crashing in on them. And so this is speaking of a roughness, a forceful taking of the kingdom. It's not a casual affair like the dinner parties of the wealthy where you just stroll into it. Right? That's not this at all. That's not what coming into the kingdom is like at all. It's not a sneaking into it like there's a side door and you sneak in or you crawl underneath the wall and through a hole or something and enter into the kingdom. No, this is an ardent application of one's vigor. Everything about you is taking the kingdom. Like a soldier who is storming the gates of a fortress or a castle or something like that with everything of their life. That's the way that sinners enter the kingdom of heaven. But then you look at the word force. The violent take it by force. Well, that word is used in other places of Scripture as well. We just read about Paul taken by violence by Lysias. Well, the chapter before that, we have the command given for Lysias to go and take him by force. He uses the same word for the word force here in verse 12. Acts 23, it says, when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them, and to bring him into the castle. And so you think of those Roman soldiers. What are they going to do when they're commanded to go get someone in the midst of a mob? What are they going to do? They're going to push everybody aside. And they're going to do it with great force. They're going to go in and grab hold of Paul and take him out of there. And our Savior and King Jesus Christ is saying that the kingdom of heaven is to be seized with that kind of ruthless force and single-mindedness to accomplish the mission. To enter the kingdom. To take it, and to take it by force. There must be a pushing and a punching and a thrusting aside of everything in your way, and so that you can come in and take the kingdom. Take the gates of the kingdom and enter in. What did the soldiers do just as you are to do? Well, they pressed into the mob and they thrusted people out of the way to get to their mission, rescuing Paul. And so you're to do all in pressing everything, thrusting everything aside with great force in order to accomplish your one mission to take the kingdom and enter into it. Sinners must press into the kingdom of heaven. But now, friends, this is not, an outward violence, a physical violence, but it shows you with what zeal and determination and vigor you must expend in your heart and in your life to enter the kingdom. There's a zealous single-mindedness of your heart that must first be, of course, renewed in the Holy Spirit to have that zeal and vigor in your heart. It produces, though, this ruthless single-mindedness in the heart in laying hold of the kingdom of heaven. And some of you know this. When you first believe, you were wrecked by your sin. And there was nothing that anyone could do to sway you from running and fleeing to Jesus Christ. Nothing. It should still be true today of you. If not, you're lukewarm or cold. Everything would be pushed out of the way. If they got in the way from you coming to Christ, you pushed it out of the way. Because that's how important He is to you. Savior of you. Saving you from your sin. Everything pushed out of the way. It should still be that today. Nothing gets in your way of pursuing the King of the kingdom, Jesus Christ. Taking the kingdom is not something you do as if there are many things on your list to do. And this is just one of them. There's one thing you must do that must be done and are unable to do it and have been given the grace to do it, to take the kingdom of heaven as yours. But if it's just another thing like on a list or something like that, then you have not taken the kingdom. You have no place in the kingdom. Because a place in the kingdom is not just one of the places you could be. It's not one of the many nice things to have. But if you think it's just nice to have, it's a good option, maybe it's a fallback option, I could be there, then you have never pressed into the kingdom of heaven. Maybe you think being a Christian is just a good thing to have in your pocket to hold on to for emergencies. Or you have many other things in all your pockets, so you have all these fallback options just in case. Then you're no Christian. Yes, you come to worship, you come to church, but that's all outward. That's not taking the kingdom, friends. That's playing around with the kingdom. Right? That's not taking it by force with violence. How many churches, at least in the past, maybe still true today, I don't know. We just need to get them to say a prayer. That was very big when I was younger. I don't know if it is today, but we just need to get them to say a prayer. And speaking from my own experience, I said a prayer. The church leader said that just pray this prayer with me. I did. And I was saved. Right? It's nice to have. I had that, friends. But I wasn't really saved. It was not until after that moment, sometime later, when reading in the Scriptures, I came to know that I was a sinner and I needed Christ. I needed the kingdom, and I took it, as we're all to take it. The prayer the pastor prayed did nothing. It was deceptive because of how the leader of the church communicated the message. Being saved is not just a nice thing to do, but be not deceived, friends. You must take the kingdom of heaven by force. Again, it's not just a casual, nice thing to have. Anyone who sees being saved, becoming a Christian, being part of Christ's kingdom as that, a nice thing to have, they have never entered into the kingdom. They're not a Christian. They're not saved. There must be in you now a single-minded aim, focus, desire for the kingdom, for Christ. The kingdom of heaven. What is the soldier storming the castle, the fortress, have? Well, if we were the soldier, we could say, well, let me stop and, as we're storming the castle, I'm going to stop and contemplate all the nice things. Oh, yes, this will be nice when I go over that wall and we win. Yes, that will be nice. Yes, my wife at home. I'll be happy when I get to go home and see her again and be with her. That's nice. No, the soldier who is storming the castle only has one aim. He must get there. He must get over the obstacles to get there. He has to get over the walls and into the castle, into the fortress, whatever it is. He must. His very life depends upon it. If he doesn't, he dies. He has to get there. He's not thinking about all the nice things. He's not even thinking about his wife. He has one goal. Get there or I die. That's the soldier. That's the Christian. The alternative to getting into the kingdom is an unspeakable, grave, awful, lying forever under the wrath of God. This taking the kingdom, this entering in, is not something that's optional kind of a thing to add on to the rest of your life. It is your life. It's all of it. Communicating, Jesus is communicating, this is a matter of life and death. Eternal life and eternal death. If you don't see it that way, it's because you haven't entered into the kingdom. You're still in your sins. You're not part of the kingdom. There is, friends, to be a single-mindedness about how to obtain this kingdom and a place in this kingdom. And those who take it by violence, those who truly enter by pressing into it, they know it must be alone through Jesus Christ. You must have Christ. You must have Christ at all costs. For there's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Pontius Pilate asked, what is truth? Now you who take the kingdom know what truth is. And you know that you must have Jesus Christ. And if you don't have Him, and you know that you will not have the kingdom of heaven. And if you don't have the kingdom, then you'll be lost and you'll perish forever. Those who've taken the kingdom, if that's you, you're not undecided as to where the truth is. You know where truth is. It's in the Scriptures, in God alone. And it's found in Jesus Christ. If you haven't taken the kingdom by force, you know this. Excuse me, if you have taken the kingdom by force, you know this, it's in Christ alone. You know alone that Christ is King and Savior. You know that the Bible, the words of the Scriptures are all true. You know there's none else, no hope, unless you have Christ Jesus. You must have Him, or you die. So do you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And do you live like it? You must have Him as your Savior. Otherwise, you're hopelessly lost. There's no alternative. There's no other options. There's no fallback plan. There's no other things. There's Christ Jesus, the Savior, as your Savior. And you must have Him or nothing. You must have Jesus, who bore the guilt of your sin and the wrath of God upon the guilt of the sin, your sin on the cross. You must have that Jesus, or you have nothing. You exclaim, "Lord, save me, or I perish." You must be like the woman with the bloody issue back in Matthew, I think chapter 9, going through the multitudes just to touch the hem of His garment. Pushing through. Pressing into the kingdom. She knew she needed one thing. Jesus. That ruthless single-mindedness. All these things necessary for true entry into the kingdom of heaven. And He's the Savior. And you must know, Christian, that He is all of your salvation, all of your desire. So there must be a ruthless, violent force. In other words, abandoning all that needs to be abandoned to have Christ. Are you ready to abandon everything, whatever is necessary to abandon, to have Christ? That's what this means, taking the kingdom by force. Whatever is needed, give up everything, if necessary, for Christ. In verse 12 again it says, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." That's why the Lord Jesus speaks of, in other places, cutting off the hand, plucking out the eye. If that's necessary to have Jesus and enter into the kingdom, then do it. Do it. You must abandon your self-righteousness. That's the message to the Jews, probably to all of us too. Because you can't have Christ with your self-righteousness. If you think you're good by nature, by your practice, you've never entered the kingdom. Be certain of the fact that you have never entered the kingdom by violence. You've never had the gracious work of the Holy Spirit in your heart, so you still have that self-righteousness and you don't give it up. Or by it, you are ready to abandon your foolish pride and vain hope. That's what taking the kingdom is by force. Abandoning all the pride and your vain hopes. Those who enter the kingdom are ruthless. They will give up riches. They will give up dreams, aspirations. They'll give up prosperity and popularity. They'll even give up their very own family if necessary to enter into the kingdom. Of course, in the context, or in the accordance with God's Word. And some of you have done that. Just by, again, keeping the Lord's Day. People get upset at you and your family because of this. Because you've entered the kingdom by force. And it's ruthless to those who are hostile against us. It's rough, it's hard, it's demanding. Just like the soldiers who rushed upon the mob to get Paul out of there. So the true convert will push aside whatever keeps him from Christ and His kingdom. And entering and being members of, and being a member of the church, the bride of Christ. You must have Christ to save you. Do everything. Matthew 13, like that. Now we're going to see the parables of the kingdom. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Vast multitudes don't understand the value of this kingdom, but the Christian does. The ones who turn to Jesus do, and they'll give up all for Him. Has your heart been changed by the Holy Spirit so that the place in the kingdom, salvation in Christ, whatever is needed, you must have it and you'll do it for it. That's taking the kingdom by force. By ruthlessness. In one sense, you come without money and without price into the kingdom and the Lord Jesus. And in another sense, in terms of pride and your sin and things that hold you back from Christ and His kingdom, there's great cost. Now, ruthlessness and the turning from all that pride and the things you love to Christ Jesus, who must be your first and foremost and only love. All the wrong ideas that you had, all the false assumed traditions, all things are counted but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. And so have you stormed the kingdom of heaven like this? Or are you holding on to your wrong ideas, your traditions, your families that are holding you back? Or maybe you're saying, I'm not going to have this Christian only, or Christ only salvation idea. I'm not going to believe this, that everyone is lost unless they have Christ, even the babies. Lost unless they have Christ. Well, then you can be assured that you're not in the kingdom. You're not. Those who take it by violence, truly pressing into it, they know that Christ alone saves. Because they know the truth. And they take it by a ruthlessness of violence, by force, abandoning all other things for their hope in Jesus Christ. The second point, the kingdom scriptures. The kingdom scriptures, which is what the truth that you believe is the scripture. Verse 13. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. All the prophets and the law. That's the whole Testament, right? The entire Old Testament set forth the Word of God. At that moment, that's all they had. They didn't have the New Testament yet, right? They only had the Old Testament. We heard in chapter 5, think not that I, Jesus is speaking, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. We learned there when we were in Matthew 5 that the Word of God is fully preserved according to its providence in all times. It contains the truth and it's still for today. It's applicable today. That's 2 Timothy 3:16. The Old Testament is what came before John the Baptist. And then silence. We were learning in Sabbath school like for 400 years. Then there was John. John the Baptist, the prophet, came. And John came, it says Luke 1, and he shall go before him, before Christ, in the spirit and power of Elias. So he's not literally Elijah. That's Elias there. He's not literally Elijah from the book of Kings. We just read in family worship how the Lord took up Elijah into heaven. Right? Goes up to heaven. He's kind of like Enoch in Genesis 5. He didn't die. Only two men to have ever gone up and been raised up to heaven and not die in their bodies and soul. But this is not Elijah who's now come down from heaven. This is John the Baptist. Elijah wasn't returning, but one like Elijah. That's what is prophesied in the Old Testament. We're going to read it in a second. One like Elijah and his manner of life and what he does and his prophesying. Elijah, if you remember, dressed in eight very similarly to John, right? He was out in the wilderness like John. Both prophets, how he preached repentance and warning the people. Elijah did the same. Malachi chapter 4. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. That's a prophecy of John the Baptist coming, leading up to the coming of Jesus Christ. There was some good amount of enthusiasm with John at first, but it ended like verse 18 in our passage. The Jews saying, he hath a devil. And it goes on and it says, the next verse, I think, the Son of Man The Son of Man came eating and drinking. They say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. Right? They wouldn't have John the Baptist and they wouldn't have Christ, the Jews. And if they didn't have Christ, they didn't really receive the Old Testament either. But a true convert, a true Christian, a true believer in the Lord, a true Christian who storms the gates of the kingdom in force, the Lord Jesus is saying, the one who does that, who takes the kingdom by violence, by force, is the one who holds to the truth of the Old Testament Scriptures. They hold to all the Word. Receives all the Word of the Old Testament. All the Old Testament prophecies about Jesus and the Christ. All the law and all the prophets. And John the Baptist, you receive him. And Jesus, you of course receive him. The Jews didn't. All the New Testament that testifies of Jesus, you receive that as well. As God's Word, as the Word of Jesus Christ. All that is made known in Scripture. And so true Christianity is a Christianity of the whole Bible. The law and the prophets, the Gospels, the epistles, all of it is God's Word. The Pharisees said they held to the Old Testament Scriptures, but then when John came and then Christ came, they didn't want them. They rejected them. They rejected the Scriptures. And they rejected John and Jesus, as we see in our passage. In verse 18 and 19. They wanted nothing of them, even though the truth was in Christ. And so when Jesus came, they didn't want Him. They didn't want and believe the Scriptures that testified of Him. That's why today the Jews have pretty much deleted Isaiah 53 from their Hebrew Bibles. Or if it's there, they skip right over it. But the true Christian submits to all of the Word of God. The Jews, when Christ was crucified, you want to know what the Jews really thought of Jesus when He's there suffering on the cross and dying for the sins of the people. Remember that Jesus cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Jews didn't want to believe this was the Christ. And so they said, He calls for Elias, Elijah. They thought Elijah was coming. And that Jesus was calling for him. They missed it though. And they rejected John the Baptist because Elias had come. Elijah had come. And John the Baptist. And yet they continued. It says where Jesus is at the cross. And he just cried that out. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, that is the rest of the Jews there on the ground. The rest said, let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. They didn't believe this was the Christ. They didn't believe John the Baptist had come as prophesied of the Elijah to come. They despise John. They despise Jesus as the Christ. There are many professing Christians today who say they believe the gospel, who say they believe in Jesus, but they do not hold to the authority of the Scriptures in their entirety. They decide what parts of it are authoritative and what parts are not authoritative. But to be selective of part of it, it is to believe none of it, Jesus says right here in this passage. Do you believe all of the Scriptures? Are you a true taker of the kingdom? Because a true taker of the kingdom who takes it by force takes the Scriptures as the very Word of God in all truth and is fully authoritative to all of our faith and life. We end with verse 15, in which the Lord Jesus, He does this with the many parables of the kingdom as we're going to see in the gospel, Lord willing. Jesus shows us kingdom discrimination, godly kingdom discrimination. Verse 15, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Because the sovereignty of God and election, there are some who are given ears to hear and some who are not given ears to hear. The election of grace have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Christ said to the Jews, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." He said again, "My sheep hear my voice." Have you been given ears to hear? Have your ears been opened by the Spirit of God so that you have been made willing to receive the Word of God as truth and to take the kingdom by force and to put away every hindrance and all pride and all things that stand in the way of you and Jesus Christ and His kingdom? And have you come and embraced Him in faith? The King and the Savior and all His majesty and beauty and excellency and glory. Have you been given ears to hear? Or are you still deaf to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you taken the kingdom by violence, pressing into it, thrusting aside your pride, your self-confidence, your supposed good works, your vain ideas, all your traditions, man-made traditions, your false hopes? Have you abandoned all these things and ruthlessly laid hold of the promises of mercy and grace found in Christ alone? Have you pressed into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the King? For there are none who truly seek after Him that do not find Him. And all who flee to Jesus in this way find Him. You are come. You are to come. You're lost. Find Him. Take Him. And believe on Him. He says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." That's His promise. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for Your kingdom. We pray that You would give us that ruthlessness and force that we need in setting aside all things. Even as Christians, that we would set aside all things, whatever be in the way of our coming into the kingdom, of our living for Christ in the kingdom, of our submitting to the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, in all things. Whatever stands in the way, we pray that we would thrust it aside by force. We pray that You would grant us by Your Holy Spirit the grace to do these things. For we are weak. And we are like the paralytic who can't move, can't get up, who can do no forceful thing of ourselves. And so, Father, grant us Your grace to do it. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.